enjoyed the good singing, enjoyed the testimonies before the choir singing and the prayer requests. And Brother Caleb, thank you so much. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're interested in the book of John, chapter number 20. It's good to see each of you in the house of the Lord this evening. Still praying, concerned about what the Lord showed me on Saturday. I don't even know what all of it means yet, but I'm just trying to be obedient, trying to serve Him and do what I know to do. And I've told you that this week we need to be working on a prayer blitz, even a social media blitz. For those of you that are social media folks, we want you to get out and help blitz. And we want to have a prayer blitz. And I'll tell you what I'm praying for. I'm praying, trying to find direction as to when we're going to have a 24-hour of prayer here at the church, where we just sign up for an hour to come in and pray for an hour. And I know that there's COVID, and I know that there's dangers, and I know that there's scary things that go on, but I also know I believe God's going to honor it. So we're just trying to find out, praying about when we need to do this, but it's definitely working on my heart right now about it. So if you'd be praying about that, I'd appreciate that. All right. If you have your Bibles tonight, the book of John, chapter number 20, I'm going to ask if you would stand to your feet. The book of John, chapter 20. We're going to begin reading this evening in the 19th verse, a very familiar text. The Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." I want to build tonight off verse number 22, where the scripture speaks about Jesus breathing on his disciples. I want to preach on this, a fresh breath from Jesus. You know what we need tonight? We need a fresh breath from Jesus. We'd do well to receive that tonight. Father, would you help us this evening as we preach the word? Father, would you help us tonight? Father, to be filled with the power of the Spirit of God. Lord, just fill us up and help us, God, to declare boldly the truths that God, you've given to us. Lord, I thank you tonight for the opportunity you've given us together. And Father, I pray that we might be a help, an encouragement, Father. Lord, I ask tonight, Lord Jesus, that you'd do work in our lives and help us, Father, that we'd be able to get close enough to Jesus that we might have him to breathe on us, that we might get a fresh breath. Lord, we need fresh perspective tonight. Lord, we need revival. We need refreshment, God. We need your touch upon our lives, Father. I pray, God, you'd touch Bethel Church. Lord, I thank you for her. God, I ask your blessing be upon her, Father. I pray, God, you would do a work. God, I pray for these many prayer requests. God, I've been bitching tonight already. God, there are many that hang in death's door. And Father, there's folks tonight, God, don't even know that we're hanging in death's door. But God, I ask, God, your hand be upon each and every one. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you now. We ask, God, your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you tonight for standing. You may be seated. We know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he was born of a virgin there in Little Bethlehem Manger. And we know that he was raised up in Nazareth and he lived a sinless, spotless life. We know that he started his earthly ministry and he went out, especially into Capernaum, was headquarters, and he called disciples to follow him. And we know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went around doing good, preaching the truth. Miracles were being done. And we know that the day came when Jesus was going to be crucified. And he laid down his life on a cross, and they buried him. And on the first day of the week, our Savior arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And we know that on that very first day, that some of his disciples saw an empty tomb early that Sunday morning, and their hearts were glad. They were so excited. You would have thought that later on by that evening, they'd have been having one of the biggest celebrations ever, that Jesus is alive. But that's not what you find. The Bible says then, verse 19, the same day, this is the day that Jesus arose. At the evening time, there's 10 disciples. Preacher Darren, there's 12. No, Judas is not one of them anymore, and Thomas is not there. So 10 of them are gathered in this upper room behind locked doors. And where they were there for fear of the Jews. Listen to me now. As they sat there behind locked doors, there was complete silence. There was probably darkness. They didn't want anyone to know they were there. You know why? Because they were afraid. Everyone was saying that they had gone out and they had stolen the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the disciples are completely afraid. And through locked doors, Jesus came and stood in their midst. And the Bible says that he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Well, nowadays, we don't really want people to breathe on us. Don't get close enough to breathe on Preacher Darren. Don't let Preacher Darren get close enough to breathe on you. We've got COVID, we've got issues, we've got our bubble, and we want our bubble to be protected. We don't want anybody to get within our little bubble. Say amen. It's the truth. Now, and nowadays, if you breathe on somebody, it's distasteful and it is disturbing. But there are times in our lives that we need a fresh breath from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to discuss tonight some of those times that we need a fresh breath from Jesus. First of all, when I look at verse 19 and I think about those disciples, they have lost the Savior's presence. The Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled." Amen. These men spent 3.5 years with our Savior. Right. They walked with him. Right. They ate with him. Yeah. They probably slept beside him out on a country road. Amen. He preached and taught and they listened. He performed great miracles. Oh. They witnessed the power of the Lord Jesus Christ falling and they saw him die on the cross. They saw them take his body off the cross and put it in the cold tomb. And now they're separated from the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's not with them anymore. And they've lost the very sense of his presence. There may be tonight, I'm talking to somebody here. "Where are you, Lord? I've got this problem in my life. I've got this issue going on right now. I've got this prayer request, Lord. This trouble, this problem is unsurmountable. Lord, where are you? You've been there for everybody else. Lord, where are you for me?" For whatever reason now, they're away from him. And they're fearful they're never going to experience his presence again. They are assembled on that first Sunday night. And here we are assembled in the house of God on a Sunday evening, even commemorating the day our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, even commemorating how they met that first Sunday night. And they had lost the Savior's presence. And it may be tonight that you have lost his presence in your life. You're not aware of his surrounding you even while I speak. I think about David in the Word of God. He sinned against God. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He went off and had her husband, Uriah, murdered. Listen what David said in Psalm 51 and see if he's lost sense of God's presence in his life. Listen to it. He prays, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Psalm 51, 10 and 11. Here's a man by the name of David. Because of choices in his life, he has lost the sense of God's presence in his life. The disciples have lost the sense of Jesus' presence in their lives. Would you hold your place here and turn back with me to the book of Job? I should have had you turn to the Psalm chapter 51 and look. But Job chapter 23, Job chapter 23, we'll just do Bible study. I think about the difficulties in Job's life. You remember how he was bankrupt of all his possessions? You're going to come in here tonight and tell me that you got problems, and we do. But he was bankrupt of all his possessions. He was bereaved of all 10 of his children. His wife, his bride, told him to cuss God and die. His buddies were miserable comforters when he got boils all over his body. And you think that you've got problems? You think that you got hardships? I'm telling you, nobody outside the Lord Jesus Christ ever saw it as hard as Job. The Bible says in Job 23, And in verse number 3, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him!" Exclamation mark. Do you see that in Job 23, verse number 3? Do you see right there that he's lost sense of God's presence in his life? I'm talking to somebody tonight. You're in church. You're trying to find direction. You're trying to get around the presence of the Lord. I promise you this. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. He's present tonight. Can you get around him? He's present tonight. Do you know him? He's present tonight. Will you worship him? He's present tonight. Will you listen to him? Will you witness him? Job said, in the middle, he's pouring out his complaint. He's pouring out his problem. "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." Listen to what he says. "I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments." In other words, I'll pour out my trouble to the Lord. I'm going to tell him how he's done me wrong. Hey, man, you talk about losing the sense of God's presence on your life when you're willing to stand up to say that, "God, you've done me wrong." Oh, look, verse 5. "I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him." See that? Job's looking. He said, "I don't see him on the left. I don't see him on the right. I don't see him in front of me. I don't see him behind me. I've completely lost. My problems, my calamity, my distress is so great, I can't even see God's presence in my life." Think about people right now on your prayer list. They're in such a crisis right now. They need the Lord like they've never, ever seen him before. We need to pray that the Lord would show himself through the lattice work of eternity and show himself mighty to hear and mighty to save. You know when you need a fresh breath from Jesus? When you've lost the sense of his presence in your life. You need him to walk into your crisis, to walk through your storm and breathe on you and say, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Amen. You realize in creation, when God created Adam, that God breathed upon him and Adam became a living soul. It was when God breathed. You realize the word, the Bible that you have laying in front of you right now, it is the breath, the inspiration of Almighty God. You have the breath of God laying right in your hands right now. We need a fresh breath from Jesus. Now let's go back to our text. When you lost the Savior's presence in your life, you need a fresh breath from Jesus. Second of all, when you have been latched by the spirit of panic, in other words, when fear begins to lay his icy hands upon you, and latch you, and lock you, and begin to grip you. These disciples we mentioned, they're saying, all the Jews are saying, since the body of Jesus is not in the tomb, and the stone's rolled away, everyone is saying that the disciples have come and stolen his body. If they killed the master, they would kill his disciples. And the disciples are behind locked doors, in complete silence, chewing their fingernails, taking Tums, if there was any. They're all to pieces, okay? They're in a spirit of panic. Read it again. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear." For what? "For fear of the Jews." Now tonight, me and you, we're not really afraid of the Jews. But these disciples were afraid of the other Jews, that they were going to come and take them. Now, there's a lot of times tonight, though, that you do have fears. You fear losing your job. You fear not having enough money to pay your bills. Yes, you do. You fear losing your health. You fear getting COVID. You fear cancer. You fear a heart attack. You fear a car crash. You fear death. Well, Preacher Darren, I'm not afraid to die. Then you fear the process. You know when you need a fresh breath from Jesus? When fear has caused you to start shaking and trembling and quaking inside. Have you ever been there? I'm talking about a doctor's diagnosis that completely causes you to shimmy and to shiver. Preacher Darren, I've never had that. Oh, I've seen it on people. When they come home with that doctor's report, I've seen them completely go into lockdown and shut down. I've seen people when they didn't know what to do. Listen, I've experienced myself so much pressure that come upon me with accusals and things and rumors being said that honest, it's all you can do, stand up here and you just shake when you stand here and try to preach the word of God. But you stand boldly and trusting that God is going to fulfill what he tells you to preach and what he tells you to say, amen. And he gives you a backbone about this wide and you can stand on the rock that lifts you up because Jesus is well able. But I'm telling you, when panic and terror and fear sets in, when there's been a doctor's diagnosis and there's not enough money to pay the bills and problems surround everywhere, you know what you need? You need a fresh breath of Jesus. Because there was these disciples quaking and trembling and not knowing what to do. And the Lord walked through locked doors and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And he breathed on them and he calmed their nerves right in that place. I'm thinking about a little lady. Some years ago, I'd go to the Bryan Center, and especially before all the COVID stuff hit so bad, and you can't hardly get in anymore. But there's a lady there that she had some health problems. She had oxygen tanks. She was worried. She said, "Preacher Darren, I want you to pray with me." She said, "I'm afraid to die. Am I not saved?" See, somehow she thought that being saved took away the fear of death, that being saved, that you'd just face death and say, "Yeah, bring it on, I'm ready to go." But she said, "I'm afraid." Right. I'm going to tell you something. I went to see her. I didn't know who she was. I stopped by her room. The very first time I met her, she had a Bible laying there next on her little nightstand. And I stopped there to see her. And I said, "Do you think God could send somebody to your room, honey, to pray with you?" She said, "Yes, I do." She said, "I was just praying, God, would you send somebody to see me tonight?" And I come walking through about 8 o'clock that evening, and I seen her Bible there. Man, it was all crinkled up, and the cover of it was lifted up. And I said, "You, that Bible there, I said, you ever read that Bible?" She said, "I've read it through 17 times. And she said, "I was just praying, God, would you send somebody my direction?" And she said, "God sent me a preacher." Ain't that just like him? I hadn't even told her I was a preacher. She just knew. And I started talking to her, and she said, "Preacher, I've read that Bible through 17 times, but I'm afraid to die. Am I not saved?" And I called her name, and I prayed with her there. And I said, "Let me tell you something. Just trust him." I said, "There's going to come a time where you just trust him, and he's going to take you on." Let me tell you what happened. Just a few days later, there was a call came to me and said, "Preacher, Miss Carrie, she's went home." Here's what happened. She got her house coat on. She wasn't hurting at all. And she laid down on top of her bed in her little house coat. And when she laid herself down and she prayed herself to sleep, the Lord just come by in the middle of the night. And he just took her. He just lifted her right from this veil of tears. Can you just imagine? As she laid down that night and she said, "Lord, as I lay here on this bed, I'm in your hands. And Lord, I'm just trusting you, God, to give me a good night's rest. And if you don't, Lord, I'll see you on the other side." And the Lord just come by. You see, it wasn't painful. It wasn't something hard to go through. You know, when you get afraid, you know what you need? You need a fresh breath from Jesus. That's what you need tonight, church. That's what we need tonight, choir. That's what we need tonight, church, is just a fresh breath from the Lord Jesus Christ. I see something else in this chapter. I see these disciples have a lack of peace. They lack the sense of peace. Look with me at verse 19, at the end of the verse, when Jesus came through those locked doors and he stood in the midst, what'd he say to them? He said, "Peace be unto you." Look at verse 21. What did he say to them a second time? He said to them again, "Peace be unto you." I'm going to say to you, I believe that these men didn't have any peace that night. We already said they're panicked. They've got fear. We've already said they've lost the sense of the presence of Jesus. I'm pretty sure they don't have any peace. They're troubled by the goings on of that day. They are void of peace. I want to tell you something. I'm just going to be honest. Seemed like here lately, man, I watch the news and I find myself getting angry. I really just want to go smack somebody. Have you ever been there? I won't call no names, but I've got two or three pretty high on the list. And they don't care nothing about me, and I ain't nothing to them. But what's in the news is causing me to become aggravated, and I'm losing my sense of peace because I've been watching the news. And my wife knows this to be true. I just told her, I said, I can't watch it anymore. She said, "Oh, we need to find out what's going on." I said, "You worry about what's going on, but it's caused me to lose my sense of peace. I'm getting disturbed by what I see and what they report. It aggravates me. And what they say ain't the truth more than half the time." Amen. Somebody ought to fact check the news. Amen. Fact check everybody else. Fact check the newscaster. Amen. Fact check the weather forecast. See how that turns out for you. Amen. But let's fact check the Bible about peace. Turn with me back here in John chapter 14. John chapter number 14. Read it with me in verse number 27. I'm talking about people that's lost their sense of peace. I'm talking to somebody not Christians. God wants us to have the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And when I'm watching the news, I don't have peace anymore. But when I get my Bible, honey, I get a new vision. John 14, 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Honey, if we've got the presence of the Lord, and if we get rid of the spirit of panic, and we get the peace of God, that's all we need. We need a fresh breath from heaven. That's what we need. Look with me again in John chapter 16 and verse number 33. John chapter 16 and verse number 33. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I've overcome the prince of the world, that is the devil. I've overcome the people of the world. I've overcome the power of the world. I've overcome the pull of the world. I've overcome the philosophy and the social agendas of the world. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And if tonight we'd get in Jesus Christ, he'll give us peace when we're troubled, when we have no peace. You know what we need to do? Jesus, just breathe on me. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's what we're in need of tonight. Go back to our text. We were in John chapter number 20. And we were reading about that first Sunday evening service. Here we are on the Sunday evening service tonight. It was a Sunday evening service that they had. And they sat there in silence. And they sat there in the dark. And they sat there in fear. And they sat there with losing the sense of God's presence. They sat there in that service with having panic all about them. They sat there. Here's another thing. In verse number 20, these gentlemen, they have let slip the prize. What's the prize? Joy. Oh, the Lord wants you to have joy. Did you know that it takes less than half the muscles to smile than it does to frown? Now, some of y'all have to be weightlifters, and you're always frowning. And I know you got to show how strong you are, because every time you get around you, it's always a sad story, always a bad tale. You can't smile at nobody. Hey, man, you ever been out to a restaurant and the waitress come up and say, "Well, you up?" You know what? I don't want to eat here. Amen. That's what I want. I want a new waitress. Amen. I want somebody that's got joy. I want somebody, "Hey, what do you need tonight? Preacher Darren, I have prayer." I want to be around people that's got joy. Now look with me. Look with me in the Bible in verse number 20. Jesus, now he's come through locked doors and he said, peace be unto you. Verse 20. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now earlier that morning, they saw an empty tomb. I believe somewhere that afternoon, Simon Peter has seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just blown his mind. And here they are gathered. And when they see his side, when they see his hands, when they see it is Jesus, the very Christ, then were they glad. They had joy. Do you have joy? Oh, Preacher Darren, there's COVID and there's cancer and those things are real. And reality slaps us in the face. But joy is knowing that you're saved and on your way to heaven, no matter what the conditions of the world tell you that you're in. Joy. Jesus is alive. Jesus is resurrected. My sins are forgiven. Men that are void of peace, men that are gripped with fear, men that have missed the presence of Jesus, they forgot where joy comes from. And when they saw his hands and his side, then they were glad. You know where joy comes from? Joy comes from God sending his son to die for sinners like you and me. That's love, and there's joy in that. You know where joy comes from? That Jesus went to a grave, and on the first day of the week, he raised victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Hey, politics will never change it. The Supreme Court will never change it. Amen. It'll never change. Jesus is alive. Joy comes from having my sins forgiven. Look in the book of Luke, chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10, please turn there. Jesus has sent out his disciples two by two, and they're out preaching, and things are happening, and they're healing people, and demons are being cast out, and man, they're excited to death about what's happening, and maybe you get excited because you got a raise, and maybe you get excited because COVID is now behind you, and maybe you get excited because, I don't know, you get euphoric because something happened in your life that's wonderful. Hallelujah for the good news. But look at verse 20 of this chapter, Luke 10, 20. Jesus says, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I have got something to shout about. I have something to praise the Lord for. I told you this before, but I talked to a gentleman. Man, he was so down and out. He was so discouraged. He was so despondent. And I said, well, let's make a list. I'm a list maker. I'm a bean counter. You think about Philip in the Bible. I'm a lot like Philip. I'm an analyzer. I'm going to count beans, and I'm going to see if there's enough beans to go around. And here this guy came, and I said, let's make a list. I said, now, things to praise God for and things to be sad about. And he was so sad. And I said, I'm sorry that your wife died. He said, my wife's not dead. She's very much alive. I thought, that's something to praise the Lord for. I said, I'm sorry to hear about your kids that they're no longer with you anymore, that they're not alive. He said, no. My kids are very much alive. He wrote that down. I'm sorry about your grandkids that you don't have any grandkids. He wrote down, no, my grandkids are alive. I said, I'm sorry that you lost your job. Oh, no, I still have a job. I'm sorry that you lost your health. Oh, no, I still got my health. I'm sorry that you're not saved. Oh, yes, I'm saved. Hey, man, we made a list pretty quick that he had a lot to praise God for. We even listed that there was, listen, I'm sorry that your roof has a leak. My roof don't have a leak. That's something to praise God for. I'm sorry that your car broke down. My car didn't break down. Hey, man, let me tell you something. You got more to praise God for than you realize. But the most important thing that you can praise God for is that your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Back to the book of John, chapter 20. I'm almost done. I've got one more. Don't let the prize of joy slip in your life. Prize of joy. Value it. Thank God for it. Look at verse 21 now. The Lord Jesus Christ. These disciples, as he walks into that room, they have a low sense of passion to serve Christ. They've lost their zeal. They've lost their spiritual energy, their spiritual grit, their spiritual mojo. They're just like some of us on a Sunday night service. You know why people don't come to Sunday night service? Because a lot of them's dead. I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the service. Sometimes a Sunday night service can be dead. Amen. You know, there's a little boy one time where I used to go to church where I grew up. We had big plaques up on the wall, and they had names of all the men that went off to service. And in some churches, and every one of them came back, except they had a Saturday night prayer meeting, Remington. Yeah. Preacher, they had a Saturday night prayer meeting to pray for every boy that got called off to war. And one man was so upset that they were praying for his son, he came in and scratched his boy's name off that list and said, I don't want y'all praying for him. Don't need you praying for him. He came home in a coffin. The only one of all that plaque that came home in a coffin was that boy because they didn't want prayer. I'm telling you, honey, you better be careful what you... I mean, he much killed his own boy when he did that. There's in one church, they had a big plaque up in a big church, big First Baptist church, thousands of people. They had plaques listed of all the people that had died in the service. And one little boy was standing there, and he said, what is that? He said, I was just admiring this plaque. He said, it's beautiful. And he said, this is a list of all the names that died in the service. He said, which one was it, the morning service or the evening service? You want to know why people don't come to church with you? Because you ain't got no joy. You ain't got no peace. All you got's a pooch lip. You don't smile at nobody. Don't welcome nobody. I'm telling you, y'all, we have no passion. We've lost our passion to serve Jesus. These disciples are in the upper room and they think it's over. And I'm telling you, we're done. Woe is me. What am I going to do? Hallelujah. It's the truth. These men have lost their passion to serve. They have forgotten their calling. Jesus said in verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Jesus just said, as my Father commissioned me, I am commissioning you. As my Father sent me out with a passion to serve, with me a passion to minister, I'm sending you out with a passion to minister and a passion to serve. Amen. Help me, Lord. I've got a verse I got to find. Just put me on hold for just a second. The book of Matthew, chapter number 20. The book of Matthew, chapter 20. And I want to look at verse 28. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28. As you're turning, I have a question for you. Did the disciples wash Jesus' feet, or did Jesus wash their feet? He washed their feet. Who was the greater in that picture? Jesus is the preeminent one, and the one who is the servant, the minister, is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 20 and verse number 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. How was Jesus sent? Jesus was sent to minister. Jesus was sent to serve. Now, we were talking about a restaurant. You go to a restaurant and you see hiding over in the corner, you see what is known as the busboy. Sometimes you think that the waiter or the waitress is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Honey, he's not there to take your orders.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He's not there to take orders from you.
Go ahead.
Don't you boss him around about you need to do this, amen, you need to do this, you need to do this, right, and you need to do that.
Right.
Honey, it's a privilege to call on Jesus, but you ain't bossing him.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But Jesus is a picture of that busboy.
Yes, he is.
That busboy, imagine what that boy and that girl's got to do. They come rolling that little push cart, and they come out there to that table where you've just got over COVID. Or you're supposed to be in court. You're supposed to be in quarantine and you wasn't. And you went anyway because you wanted to get something to eat and get out of the house. And then you got a little busboy down there. And he's there to clean your mess. All that disgusting stuff you did, slobber, spilled tea,
pieces of chicken fell out of your mouth, things up off the floor. He's there cleaning every bit of it up. He's there to wash your dirty vessels, there to clean up your plates. Hey, you talk about a hard job. That's a hard job. The waiter and the waitress gets the tips, but the busboy's got the hard job. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, what does he do? He's not there to take orders from you. He's not there to cater to you. He's there to clean up your mess. The disgusting sins and the wickedness and the filthiness that you part of, he's there to come and minister and to help. You know what we're supposed to do as a church? We're supposed to serve. Here's the whole deal. Some of us, we think what the church ought to do for you. The church ought to do this for me. Honey, it's not about what the church does for you. It is what do you do for the church. What do you do for the church? See, the devil will change your perspective on that, and your flesh and the world will change your perspective on that, that the church ought to always give, and do for you. But the problem is, you need to help do for the church. You need to roll up your sleeves and get to work in the house of God. You are the one that's called to serve. You are the one that's called to minister. Jesus has given us a calling. I want to read in Luke 14. I'm done right here. I'm wore out. Luke chapter 14. I'm done. I want to read verse number 21. Now I know the Lord's given a parable, but this is our calling. He's given us a great commission. Right? I could read Matthew chapter 28 to you, but I want to read this. Verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. In other words, he's having a wedding and the place is not even filled up. Right? Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Go bring them in. Well, Preacher Darren, that's your job. My job is, yes, to help do that and to preach to you.
Amen.
That's where I'm supposed to spend my time and my focus and my prayer, my energy, is to preach the word of God. Amen. And to help bring them in. But you're a part of this process too, to help bring them in.
Amen.
And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Look around, y'all.
Amen.
And yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. We got some work to do. And with the way most churches are, when there's no passion and there's no joy and there's no peace and there's no sense of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're panic stricken about every political, social thing going on, no wonder people don't come to our churches. One fella, his wife, she got ready to go to the Sunday night service, and she said, honey, I'm getting ready to go to the Sunday night service. Aren't you ready yet? He said, no, I don't think I'm going. She said, please hurry and get ready. Let's go together. He said, no, those people down there at that church, they've not really treated me exactly like I feel I ought to be treated. And to be honest with you, I don't really know that half of them really even like me. And some of them don't really even know my name. She said, please get ready. He said, you give me one good reason why I should go with you down there to church. She said, well, I'll give you one. You're the pastor. We need a fresh breath from Jesus.
Amen.
It'd clear a lot of things up in our life. You stand to your feet. Maybe somebody tonight, you need to slip down the old-fashioned altar, Seth, if you'd play. You need to slip down the old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, here I am. I want to meet you in the altar. Would you just breathe on me, Lord? I need you just to breathe on me. Lord, I don't have peace about everything. Lord, I'm kind of panic stricken. Lord, right now in my life, there's such a mess, and we don't even know how to start digging our way out. But Lord, I need your presence. And God, if you'd just breathe on me. I mean, my heart's like a locked door. But God, if you'd just walk into it. Jesus, would you just walk through those locked doors and enter into the chambers of my heart and help me tonight, God. I need a fresh breath. Father, tonight, God, there are needs all around us. Father, there are great sicknesses. God, they're real. God, we cannot be cold to them because, God, I have loved ones laying right now on life support. I have loved ones, God, their lives hanging in the balance. I have loved ones. Their hearts are broken. They prayed for healing for their loved one, and that healing didn't come in this life. And now they've outstripped us and they've gone to heaven. And yet, we miss them so bad. I'd love to hear my brother laugh. I'd love to see him smile. I'd love to embrace him and to hug him. But I don't have that luxury in this life. I need a fresh breath from Jesus to give me a new perspective and a new outlook. Father, I'm asking you, would you work in this church? God, would you give us a sense of passion? Would you give us a sense of the presence of God? Would you give us peace? Would you give us that prize of joy? Lord, would you help us, God, that our priorities would be reset. Not make ourselves center anymore, but let Jesus be center. God, we need you. Lord, would you get close enough to us to breathe on us? Step inside our bubble. Do that that we cannot do. Would you help us? Would you touch us tonight, God? Oh, Father, it makes such a difference in our life. Give us a brand new atmosphere, I pray, and renew our calling. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.